We're talking basketball. Ooh, Casey, we're rolling. Ooh. Talking
basketball.
I like to tell Casey that we're rolling after I go ahead and hit record.
That's the only way to do it.
I'm Chris Grays.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
This is so, Casey, first the order of business, we have to decide what the title is.
Oh, boy.
Originally, the title going in was, the last one I mentioned to you was Comedians Talking About Basketball.
Yes.
But I was at a shoot today, humble brag, and I mentioned it, and somebody was like, do you mean comedians in chairs talking basketball?
Uh-oh.
A direct Jerry Seinfeld reference.
We can't do the Jerry Seinfeld. I mentioned it today at the event I was at, and I got another Jerry Seinfeld joke about it. So I think we do have to turn away from that.
Oh, so you just, so do you want to do something else completely?
I mean, as long as we're not evoking Jerry Seinfeld, that's the first rule.
Mm, okay, we'll have to think about it. Maybe we'll have that off air.
Yeah.
Unless we want 45 minutes of this.
Yeah, that's a good question.
But the point is, we are comedians and we're talking about basketball.
That's right.
Whether or not that's the actual title of the episode you clicked on is a separate matter.
Yes.
Basically, Casey and I went to see a Lakers game a couple months ago, and he noticed that I get so annoyed with basketball pundits I start fights with them on Twitter.
Oh, man. It was absolutely hilarious.
So I was like, let's do a podcast, because basically I hate most basketball analysts.
It's great. I had recently followed you on Twitter, and you picked a fight with Matt Moore.
Yes, Hardwood Paroxysm.
Yes, HP Basketball.
Yes.
He of the 150,000 tweets over his lifetime or more. I'm sure it's more now.
Yeah.
And it was very funny to watch those two worlds of mine fight with each other.
Well, he epitomizes like the kind of basketball pundits that I don't like, and which is why, like, I want to do this podcast, because one, they all think they're funnier than they really are. They all think they're better writers than they are, and they and they love to the modern basketball writer loves to use stats in a way that tries to veil their own biases.
Okay. Yeah.
He definitely has biases that show up.
Yeah, and I think that he'll admit them once you press him on them. You know,
maybe.
So like the people that will like call him out on it, he'll be like, "Yes, I have these biases and I admit them." But at first, they don't come out until you press him on.
Well, he does shitty stuff like I was following him earlier in the season because he was posting on-off numbers for Lonzo that were ridiculous. He was posting them like 2 weeks into the season.
Yeah.
And it was like Brandon Ingram is plus 97.0 when Lonzo's off the court. And then he doesn't follow up like six months later
when the numbers have normalized.
Yeah,
when we've regressed to the mean.
So it's like, I know you're trolling. And like Snotty Drippin does it too.
Yeah.
I know that they're trolling Lakers fans.
Yeah.
And which is fine.
And nobody is as easy to troll as a very, very, very rabid Laker fan.
Such as myself.
Hey.
But the thing is, like, admit that you're in the business of trolling for page views, mm-hmm. which is your job and that pays your bills. Great. Mm-hmm. But, like, don't act like that's not what you're doing. Let's admit my bias. I'm definitely a Lakers fan. So, you know, this is a good time to be, like, involved in this whole world because you get targeted constantly by being a Lonzo fan this year was like just being a target of memes like
yes 100% because you know when you come in with as much baggage as Lonzo does, you're just gonna get hit over and over and over again. And the bummer about that is that I think the kid can play, mm-hmm. and I think that he's growing, and I don't think that he deserves the vitriol that has been placed upon him because of all the extra stuff. Like, I think he hasn't done
anything to deserve it. Like,
no.
His own behavior has been, like, super boring.
Yes.
And, like, anodyne. And, like, he hasn't done anything.
It's so funny because everything around him is the biggest circus. And, and his play was just very solid for a young player. Yeah.
Underrated defense.
Yeah.
Another HP basketball special was like dismissing his defensive numbers.
Did you see this week that he got put in the short list for guards that in Zach Lowe's all NBA
yes, all,
column? And I was like, At the beginning of the season, people...
All defense.
On the all defense team.
Yes, I did read that.
On the short list, like, not... He didn't make his, like, votes for the team, but he got put on that short list, and it was very nice to see because coming into the year, everybody was like, he's going to be a disaster on defense because he doesn't know how to play. And, you know, I think a lot of that is credited to how hard the Lakers worked on defense this year.
Yeah. Well, also, like, Zach Lowe had Jrue Holiday on his list. And actually, a lot of defensive numbers for Lonzo are better than Jrue Holiday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, keeping in mind that defensive stats are horrible.
Yeah. Yes.
And there seems to be no way to actually measure who's a good defender or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, when you're measuring people's defense, you can't trust the numbers or the eye test.
Yeah.
So basically, like, defense is just a total black box.
Yeah. We're just putting our hands up and going, boo, 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 boo.
Yeah. Well, see, this is what I would say. Like, Zach Lowe, I think, is one of the better writers out there. But I think that, like, so Zach Lowe, who basically, was he a Grantland kid?
He came around? He was, yeah.
Okay, and then
before
he went to ESPN.
Before that, he was at Sports Illustrated. It was Sports Illustrated,
right?
I think. I'm pretty sure. I'd have to check that.
I would say Grantland, I mean, Zach Lowe's, you know, top tier of this modern NBA writer.
Okay.
Zach Lowe, though, I remember... Oh, I can't remember what... I have to look up what the Twitter fight I had with him was, like, 4 years ago.
Oh, boy. I didn't know I was coming into Beef City. Is this Beef City?
Oh, that's this podcast is,
yeah,
you
know, I know. I did know.
You can quote this 10 years from now. The whole point of this podcast is for us to eventually get, like, press passes...
Yes,
so that we can get, like, you know, go to Summer League for free and that kind of stuff.
Press passes for our multi-round battles with all of our favorite bloggers. We're going to have a charity boxing tournament.
the other reason we're having the podcast is so that what happens when you argue with a Zach Lowe or a Matt Moore or whatever.
They dismiss you out of hand.
Eventually they go like, oh, you've only got this many followers. I have 10,000 or 100,000. Mm-hmm. I therefore am a... So that's the whole point of this podcast.
Yeah, we're going to get those followers. All right, we're going to get the names so that we can have a reasoned discussion at a roundtable at the Sloan Conference.
Well, because like a lot of times I listen to the Ringer roundtables.
Yeah.
And I like have half the time I'm like, you guys, no, you're wrong about that. You're whatever. By the way, we have the New Orleans Portland game on while we're watching. Oh, good, sweet, long pass to nobody.
That's an Evan Turner special, by the way.
I was listening today to ESPN Radio on my Sirius in my car.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, this is what they were going on about. James Harden can't win the MVP. By the way, I don't love James Harden. I would love for someone else to win the MVP.
Can we talk about that video, the James Harden
video
you made?
Wait,
that
let's
I
get back
loved?
To that. And then I'll say this thing.
All right.
So on the radio today, they were saying James Harden can't win the MVP. You know, he can only win MVP if you're ignoring defense. And then they were saying how LeBron should win MVP instead. I'm like, that dude doesn't even play one entire half of the court.
Yeah. He took off a lot of defense this year.
And also, you say, like, he turns it up in the playoffs. There were at least, I remember, because, I mean, everything I do is argument related. I isolated, like, three plays in, like, games, five and six of the, were there six games last year in the finals?
It was five.
Games four and five, specific plays where LeBron fucked up on defense.
Yeah.
And they, you know, the most famous of which was when Kevin Durant came in and hit the three-pointer in his face.
Yeah.
But there were other ones, particularly there were a couple that you, if you watched them, you'd be like, ah, Tristan Thompson fucked up on that play. But it's actually LeBron's fault.
Okay. Because of rotations.
He didn't help in a certain way. And he does it in a way sometimes that's like, it looks like someone else's fault.
Yeah, okay.
This idea that he turns up his defense in the playoffs is specious at best. Anyway,
okay.
First, I want to get, what are your team biases?
So I'm a Lakers fan. I grew up a Lakers fan, and I feel like my team biases are, I don't know, I try to be more about players. Like, I love watching basketball and but you know, when there's a good Lakers team, man,
being about players is probably also
that's a
result
bias
of the current Lakers team.
Yes,
maybe?
Oh yeah. I mean, there's both, but I mean, you know, when I watch even this Lakers team, I love the players on it, you know. Mm-hmm. I was very sad when I couldn't watch my beautiful Larry Nance.
We love Larry Nance.
I mean, love that guy. He's such a good dude. And
sometimes
I, like,
a kind of a lunkhead in half court.
Yes, yes. I'm not gonna
miss Jordan Clarkson. I mean, I love Jordan Clarkson. I really do like Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah.
One of the first most prominent first Filipino player.
I think there was another Filipino player in like the 70s.
Is he...
But he's the first one in a long, long time.
And in the first five Asian American players, yeah. Like Jeremy Lin was maybe the first Asian American, maybe he's second,
something like that.
They're near the front, so I love Jordan, but I don't love Jordan Clarkson just ball hogging it. And
I think a lot of his worst tendencies came out when the Lakers were bad.
Yeah,
and you know, they needed somebody to just take some shots at the end of the shot clock.
They're going to temper my disdain for LeBron and the Cavaliers if they go far, because if Larry Nance and Jordan Clarkson get to play in the finals,
that'd be great. I mean, here's the Lakers bias coming out. That means the Lakers won two championships this year.
Yeah, basically.
You know, add those to the rings. That's a count it right there.
So you want to talk about this James Harden video?
I do. One of my favorite things that you've posted is this top 10 James Harden plays video, which is just dripping with sarcasm and anger in this way that is hilarious. It's a video of James Harden's top 10 plays.
Yeah, I also just edited it to say top 10 plays of 2017/18.
Yes, perfect. Because the year doesn't matter. It's just James Harden taking free throws.
Yeah.
And the bit is great because it goes on. You're like, it's just free throws the whole time, and it goes the entire time, and they're the most boring free throws.
One of the free throws is a clip of NBA 2K.
Yeah, yes, that's it. That's the one I had forgotten.
It's an exercise in taking a game and like trying to heighten it. I don't know.
Yes, yeah.
I'm from Houston originally, so theoretically I should be a Houston fan. And I was growing up, I was a Lakers fan for some reason, mostly because of Magic. I think a lot of people were Lakers fans because of Magic and Kareem.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And then I was a Hakeem Olajuwon Drexler fan. I love those teams.
My first NBA jersey was a Hakeem jersey.
Oh.
Yeah.
I love Hakeem. I love Yao Ming. I liked Tracy McGrady.
Yeah.
And then
I love Sam Cassell.
I love Sam Cassell.
Oh my God. Watching Sam Cassell play is so fun.
But Dwight Howard, I don't love.
we can talk about Dwight Howard.
And James Harden. So this is, I in a vacuum, I respect what he does because he is trying to win games.
Yeah.
However,
damn good at it.
I don't think any Rockets fan should be surprised about why everyone hates James Harden.
Yeah.
Because my theory is, like, even if you hate Steph Curry, it's not a judgment call whether or not his three-pointer goes in.
Yeah.
It's like he shot over two defenders and from the half-court line and it went in. He's amazing. It's a skill that he has.
Oh, yeah.
And whereas James Harden's most effective offensive skill is in, like, collaboration with the refs. So that, like, it's always an argument as to whether or not he should have gotten that call or not. So it's not surprising that an opposing team wouldn't respect him for those things.
Yeah.
Because it's debatable. Every time he does it, it's debatable.
Yes. And when his three-pointer is falling, I think there's a lot more depth to his game.
Yeah.
And over the last half of the season, it hasn't been falling.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that he was my star of my fantasy team this year. And it was interesting to watch him kind of evolve his game when he wasn't hitting as many threes and see him kind of evolve it into just trying to, you know, do the, you know, get to the line, try to, you know, I mean, and here's the thing. It's tough to respect. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something to being able to fool, like, pretty much every defender, right? And really good defenders into putting their hands out. Like, they should know not to do that, right? They should know to stay back, right? You go up against James Harden, you stay back a little, right?
Right.
And that might be the only chance you have to not get him
fouled. And many
fouled.
Of them do the same tricks.
Yeah.
So they should know. But all it takes is one of those videos of him just like clamping somebody's off arm.
Yes, and he
does
that.
Like the one from like 2 days ago on Reddit.
Yeah, it's like you know, if he's not on your team, you know, it's upsetting, right? Because he's taking advantage of the system. He's on your team. It's like, oh, you know what? He's taking advantage of the system. That's good for my team.
I think it's because that puts him in the realm of like the Lambeers and Rodmans and like everybody who's sort of there's always team players like that. It's like, I would love Bruce Bowen if he's on my team. But he's not, so I hate him.
Yeah.
Because it's in that realm of sort of like not cheating, but like kind of, you know.
Yeah, trying to bend what is acceptable in an NBA game.
Whereas, I hated Michael Jordan. Yeah. I mean, this is my reasoning with Michael Jordan. Is like somebody has to root against him, and I was one of those people.
Yeah.
You know, but like in the expanse of time, it's like, yes, clearly he's the greatest player of all time. You know, I don't love LeBron either for other reasons.
I do love LeBron.
I basically hate most players.
Okay, so you hate most players. I love most players.
Well,
this
funny,
is going to be fun.
I love Kevin Durant. I don't give a shit about him going to the team. Like, that is the most, doesn't bother me at all.
I agree.
You know, even Westbrook, it's like when he cruises down the lane and just jumps over everybody and dunks it on you. If it's against your team, you're pissed, but it's hard to be like, that guy fucking sucks when he like does that to you.
No,
you know?
He certainly does not.
But anyway, Harden now is combined with another player I hate, Chris Paul. And I probably would have loved him if they had let that trade go through to the Lakers.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, because you know your Lakers bias will show there.
Exactly. Then they stopped the trade and then Powell patted him on the head. And he got all mad.
So mad.
You know.
So mad. And that was so funny.
But Chris Paul, too, is another player that's, like, so whiny. Such kind of, like, just...
Yes. I mean, I don't know. I think I'm trying to be the type of person where it's like, okay, winning isn't everything, all right? I'm trying to, like, be that person.
You're a modern-day Lakers fan.
I'm trying to be that person. And that's not Chris Paul. Winning is everything to
Chris
Paul.
Are you trying to be that person in general?
In general, yes, in general. Right?
Yes, like, he's not that kind of person.
I'm trying to be the, you know, it's about the experience. It's about, you know, trying to do your best. And, you know, it's hard because winning is awesome.
Yeah.
But Chris Paul's not that guy, and he's never going to be that guy, and everything about him is going to go towards trying to be a winner.
Conversely, though, that's why it's fun to watch him lose.
It is certainly fun to watch
him lose. And watching him choke in playoffs is very enjoyable.
Yeah.
In fact, the two of them, you know, the Houston is the favorite. We're recording this on Saturday.
Yeah.
Three games have been played. We are watching the first quarter of the Pelicans Trailblazers, but I would say right now Houston's the favorite.
Yeah, I definitely think Houston's the favorite. I don't know. I really like Toronto this year, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I didn't get to see that game, but I like Toronto too. So let me say this about Houston: they're the favorites.
Okay.
But their two guys have not proven that they're reliable in the playoffs.
Yeah, they have not, but I don't think that that's a good metric for whether or not we think they can do it this year. And I think that the way that they've played this year as a team together, which is something they haven't done in previous years, mm-hmm. is, you know, far and away more evidence to whether or not they're going to be able to play well in these playoffs. And I know that there's a different level of intensity in the playoffs mm-hmm. that you really do have to respect, but I don't think that we can assume that they're going to choke this year because they've choked in the past separately. Together, I think it's a different combination, and I'm very, very ready to watch it because I think they're going to go to the finals. I really do.
Okay, this is good. This is interesting. So because I guess the pathetic thing about me is that like I'm a Lakers fan, and also I like Golden State, which is like, but you know,
that's like they used to be our little brother, and now we're their little brother, and now it's like,
I just love watching Steph Curry. Like, he's so much fun to watch.
He's so fun.
And I really want nothing but the best for his career because I think he has basically come from, well, you know, he's short, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I was going to say he has no genetic gifts, except he's the son of, like, one of the greatest jump shooters of all time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No genetic gifts at all.
Yeah. But, like, I like them, right? So, yeah. I mean, I would like to see them go to the finals, even though I'm from Houston and, like, all my family and friends Houston will despise me.
I don't think that a Western Conference Finals loss to this Rocket team is going to be something that's bad for Steph Curry's career. I think that it might even be good for his career because it'll pump them up to, like, really come back next year because next year might be one of the last years that's that whole Warriors team together.
Well, and also their positions, like, 5 through 10 are not great.
No.
And also you can tell they're bored.
Yeah.
And I think – I actually think that's a fascinating thing about the Warriors is, like, how do you – fight that mental fatigue.
Yeah, totally.
They destroy the Spurs earlier today. And I think I don't think they're fully back. I think that there is a...
Well, I mean, they're certainly not fully back because Curry is not back yet.
For sure. But I also don't think that they... Like, I think they came hard for game one because it's like people were like... Some people were like picking them not to get out of the first round. Earl Monroe... Or Earl Watson. Earl Monroe. It'd be amazing if Earl Monroe made that pick.
Yeah, if the Pearl said that, then sure. If Earl Watson, who was still a good player, then...
Yeah. Earl Watson, who...
UCLA, baby!
But got fired from the Suns?
Yes, he definitely did get fired from the Suns.
When the Suns fire you, that's pretty bad.
Well, I mean, though, they were so rough at the beginning of the season. They lost by, like, 50 points, like, seven games in, and they were like, I'm sorry, we just can't do this anymore. Get Jay Triano in here.
Yeah. So I actually don't remember what I was saying. The point is, something about the Rockets.
We were talking about, you were saying that the Spurs, and the Warriors people were saying that the Warriors aren't yet at full speed.
Oh, I don't think they're totally back because, people were kind of down on them over the last month. Mm-hmm. And I think they came in game one and just like, no, we're back.
Yeah.
But I think they're still going to have mental ups and downs because... Like, and this is a dangerous thing that all these championship teams go through is they can't get up for it again until it's like game six or seven sometimes.
Yeah.
They're like, they let it go all the way to game, like late in a playoff series. And then they're like, okay, now we'll do it. And it happens to every single one of these teams is that eventually they can't flip the switch.
Yeah.
And what's interesting to me is like, I don't think you can tell before that. It's not until they try to flip the switch and it's not there.
It's like, where's the switch? We can't find the switch.
Yeah, I mean, because we probably both rooted for the Lakers against the Pistons.
It's like that episode of Atlanta.
I haven't watched Atlanta.
Okay, well, then never mind. I'll stop it.
But. Okay. Where the episode where Donald Glover's on an NBA playoff team. And they
yes, it's exactly what it is.
Game seven doesn't
go. Yep. Yeah, that's it's like one-to-one.
But the Lakers-Pistons series, you know, with Karl Malone and all that. Like, they were just like...
Wait, Karl Malone and Slava Medvedenko, don't forget.
Right. Was
my boy.
Sasha on the team at the time?
I can't remember. I think he was.
We had the glove. I mean, we had a ridiculous starting five on paper.
Yes. Now this is going to be fun.
Yeah. And it was okay.
Slava Medvedenko.
That is the point for year, though, right? I think it is.
No. That was a Derek Fisher. Like, I think that was 2003.
Derek Fisher not on the 2000.
No, because they sent him off to Golden State for that year with Gary Payton, and then they brought him back later.
Jumping so high in the air when that point four shot.
That was amazing. Can I give my Slava Medvedenko story?
Yes.
My buddy was a sushi delivery guy in Manhattan Beach growing up, and Slava Medvedenko would order sushi all the time. $300 worth of sushi, and he'd tip $5.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so Slava Medvedenko, you owe my buddy Garrett like a ton of money from these runs.
Do you listen to Road Tripping ever?
No.
I don't understand why so many players live in Manhattan Beach, because that's where Richard Jefferson lives over there. And isn't that Kobe lives in...
Kobe lives in...
Redondo or
no,
something?
No. Kobe lives Huntington? Way south in, like, Huntington. And those aren't close. It's like, Kobe lives in the Orange County, like Newport Beach.
I just
Beach
don't understand. I guess I do understand why people live near the beach.
Yeah.
But unless you have a helicopter like Kobe...
So, Manhattan Beach is not that far from downtown, and it's incredibly close to the Lakers training center.
Oh, in El Segundo.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That makes sense.
So, it's a nice place to live.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk predictions.
All right.
So, I predict Warriors are going to win game one of the series.
Okay, good. That's a great prediction. You know what? I can't fault that one. You know what? I might actually... I'll go the other way.
I didn't get to watch the game.
Yeah.
I was following along sort of on Twitter and on like box scores and stuff.
Yes.
And I love going to SpursTalk.com. Have you been there?
Oh, I have not.
It is a hellhole.
I mean,
like,
this season, I'm sure SpursTalk.com is real rough.
Well, Reddit, r/NBA Spurs is what it is.
Okay.
Is they're obviously upset about the season and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But SpursTalk.com is like, at this point, anti Kawhi and anti Pop.
Ooh,
they're like,
that's
Pop
a combo.
Should Pop be fired? Wow. Kawhi is a traitor for not showing up. I do think I'm. It's not great that he wasn't at the game.
That is such a strange situation.
Yeah,
because you know, no one would have ever said anything about Kawhi that was untoward before this season, right? Everybody loves the guy because he's, you know, a really great teammate, and he's a really good, hardworking player. And then this season, that perception has changed because of this injury that we don't really know much about. Because
I think the silence causes people to fill it with like bad intention.
Yes.
But it also reminds me of Derrick Rose, which is not great.
Yes. But there's silence from him. But the bad intentions are also coming straight from that locker room. Like they are not happy with him.
Yeah.
And it's they've been talking about it. They've had meetings. You know, there have been pointed barbs in the press.
Yeah.
And like whether or not those are pointed barbs just to try to get him out of his shell and get him to respond and get him to like get out of it.
Which is not it doesn't seem like a Spurs way to work.
It doesn't.
It seems like a Phil Jackson thing to do.
Yeah, a little bit. And you know, I mean, you got to change things up when you've, you know, been doing the same thing for a while. And the Spurs have gone through many different iterations of their style of team, whether it's, you know, fast run and gun or really defense focused. You know, they've switched stuff up based on the people that they've had.
Right. Now, I mean, now it's a LaMarcus Aldridge focused offense.
And that's always so tough to watch.
Yeah.
It's just not, it's not fun to watch.
I think there will be one day be a move back towards post offense.
Yes.
Big man. There just has to be, you know, eventually like everybody's going to have six, four guys.
Yeah. Once dunks are made into 3-pointers, that's the, that's what's going to happen, right? We're going to turn dunks into 3 points.
I think there'll be a NBA team. I think that, it's so funny because I feel like 5-10 years ago, people coming to the draft, if they were like 6'6" or 6'5" tweeners, mm-hmm. they'd be like, he has no position, he's not going to get drafted. And now, like, everybody just wants those guys.
Yeah.
Everybody wants five of those guys to switch everything.
Yep.
And I just feel like cyclically, eventually there'll be, like, a team that's like, well, we're just going to run Chris Stapps and Anthony Davis, Twin Towers, and, like...
I mean, it didn't really work for New Orleans this year. It, like, it kind of worked.
Yeah.
And they... But it works just as good with just Anthony Davis, which is such an interesting thing. And, I mean, DeMarcus can be that bully back to the basket kind of guy, but he can also step out. I mean, both of them can step out and do anything. So, like, it's tough because just so much of basketball right now statistically is about getting your efficiency up.
Yeah.
Right? Scoring more points. And the best way to score more points is to take the shots that count for more points.
Yeah.
And it's hard because... You know, your efficiency on dunks is always going to be better than your efficiency on on 3-pointers. But, you know, you get those so infrequently, you know, it's tough to, I don't know, it's tough in the modern.
That was a Rondo 3-pointer we just saw.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Wait. Okay,
close my eyes. Close my eyes against a Rondo 3-pointer.
What's your prediction for Warriors Spurs?
My prediction is Warriors in 4 because I don't think these Spurs are the Spurs that we're used to. I don't think that they're good this season. And I am not high on their chances to take even one game.
I think I'm going to go 4 as well because I think Pop tends to like throw the white flag. Like
when the season he knows is over, he's just going to yell at everybody.
I don't think Pop, if they're down 2-0 and in game 3 they're like behind, I don't think he's going to crank out any new strategies just so they can win one game. I think he's just going to be like, let's just end the season.
That I think they have enough pride to not make that their priority, but I think they may not have any choice.
Yeah.
I think that the Warriors are just that much better even without Curry.
Because what the ceiling for a crazy game from Aldridge is like a 35-point game or something.
I was literally going to say 35.
Yeah. So, and the ceiling of a Patty Mills game is 18 or something. I don't know. Like, they just don't have enough to, you know, they might get 5, but I'm going to say 4-2.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised at 5.
You know,
if I'm a betting man, I'm going 4.
We started with Warriors Spurs because I, in my mind, the Warriors were the one seed.
Yeah. That's fair.
It's Rockets Minnesota.
Yes.
What's your prediction there?
My prediction is Rockets in 5. I don't predict the Rockets to sweep at all. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is because of the high variance of 3-pointers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when they make a ton of shots, they're going to blow them out. When they make their normal amount of shots, they'll win. If they make a shit amount of shots, then they might lose. And I think that Minnesota has the ability to take a game off of them. I don't think it's like... a guarantee, but I would say 5.
I'm going to go Rockets in 6.
Ooh.
Because I think Jimmy Butler will take one game by himself.
Okay.
And
He's been so good for them this year when he's been healthy.
Let's say Cat takes a game too.
Okay. All right.
The main issue I have with Minnesota is it's so frustrating to watch them because their defense is not good.
They're not. The only good defensive player right now on that team is Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, and watching him is – I love watching him.
And so you put him on Harden.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Chris Paul is still there. And then they, you know,
like their rotations are bad. Like, they just – I watched both of the Minneapolis – Denver games.
Yes.
Like the last one and the one that was like three.
The play-in game.
God, some of their that Minneapolis Denver game was two crap teams trying to get in because for the right to like lose in the first round because
two crap teams trying to get 47 wins, which is good.
Yeah, which is good. I just like I was there are a lot of times games this year. So Lakers are out of the picture way long ago. So I was watching games this year, and a lot of times I was like, I'm glad I'm not a fan of this team. So like I'm glad I was like. Watching a Raptors game and being like, Valanciunas would like piss the hell off. Like,
yes.
Like, he's frustrating to watch.
Yeah.
Each team has these players that I'm like, what are you doing? And like that Nuggets Timberwolves game, there were plays like in the second half where we were just like throwing shit away.
Yeah.
Like, insane low basketball IQ plays.
Yeah.
So that's what's frustrating. They have Thibodeau and they have Cat. Wiggins and Butler.
Is Thibodeau secretly not a good defensive coach anymore?
Well, I mean, on Ringer the other day, they were saying, like, is he just not a good coach, period?
I mean, a lot of people have problems with his rotations. And
the minutes that he runs
minutes. But, I mean, he was really good at defense in 2008. And basketball is very different now.
Yeah.
It's a very different game. And I don't think that he's shown that he's got a defensive mentality for basketball in 2018.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, he created that helping defense that basically like
Boston,
everybody has copied at this point.
Yeah, and Boston would hold people to, you know. 80 points a game.
Yeah, like 67 points in a game sometimes.
I mean, you know, you think about that last the last game in the 2010 series was like 87
I can't
remember the exact 84-79
or something like
something
that.
Something dumb like that. And if you think about how many games were so low scoring this year,
there
were, you know, the bell curve on game scores has shifted so far to
the
right.
Only one was Denver 88, Portland 82, like a week ago, which was like an insane.
I mean, those two teams should be scoring more. But
okay, who's the 3 seed on the West side?
3 seed.
Are we watching the 3-6?
We are watching the 3-6.
I'm going to go with Portland in this series.
In this series, I'm taking New Orleans.
Ooh, I'll go Portland in 6.
Okay, I'm saying New Orleans in 7.
Wow.
And the reason I'm saying
so wait, they're going to win Game 7 in Portland.
Yes, they are. Yeah, I know the Rose Center is a hard place to play.
Well, I think it's called the Moda Center, if I'm looking at that court correctly.
It used to be the Rose Center.
Yeah, the Moda Center. What the fuck is Moda?
Paul
Allen.
Come on.
Go back to the Rose stuff.
Well, I know it's tough because as Lakers fans, we know the Lakers lose almost every game they play in Portland.
Yeah. Except when it matters, Game 7.
I do.
Help from the refs. And
I think Anthony Davis is good enough to make this team go past Portland. And I here's the thing. I don't want to say this lightly. I think that Damian Lillard is a stone cold killer.
Yeah.
I think that guy is like
he
insanely
is Marlo from The Wire.
It's amazing.
You watch The Wire?
Yes, of course I watched The
he
Wire.
He looks, I mean, he doesn't look like Marlo.
No.
I don't want to get into that, but like he reminds me of Marlo because he sometimes seems to have no expression.
And he'll just dagger you and he'll just be so fucking cool about it.
Yeah. I like Damian Lillard a
lot. Yeah, I like Damian Lillard. I love CJ McCollum.
CJ McCollum I like because he was a journalism major, has like this like very art like he's already pundit like in terms of like quotes and stuff. Like I will say his podcast super boring. Did you listen to it?
I have not, no.
He just put it out like last week. And I was like, it's a podcast that he's hosting with like a sports journalist, and the sports journalist just basically interviews him the whole time.
Oh,
And he then gives really boring answers.
Okay,
of like who you're going to pick between Houston and Minneapolis, And he's or Minnesota. Are they Minneapolis or Minnesota?
It's the Minnesota Timberwolves.
I haven't seen. You know what? That's the Lakers bias.
Yeah. Yeah.
He will just say like, well, you know, James Harden's one of the, like, he just says the same harmless answers. It's like, don't have a podcast if you're going to.
Yeah. The rest of the Timber or the rest Nurkic? Of the Trailblazers can kick rocks. I think they're terrible.
You don't like Nurkic?
I don't like Nurkic. I think Nurkic is a not good player who has good games occasionally that are fueled by his intense desire to prove everybody wrong. And he just is not going to prove
so
everybody wrong.
So he's just
all
fancy
way.
Darko, basically.
Well, I mean, we could talk Darko all day.
Wait, how do you feel about Jokic?
I like Jokic.
I like Jokic a lot.
I think he's great.
And I don't like the Nuggets. I hate Jamal Murray because okay. I'm a Lakers fan.
Yes, of course. Because anybody who talks that much smack to our baby boy, yeah. All right, is not my friend.
Also, anybody who makes the stupid like fourth quarter decisions that Jamal Murray makes,
yes.
Which he makes plenty of,
yeah.
And he should not be a point guard.
I do like Gary Harris, though.
I like Gary Harris.
That being said, everybody on Portland can,
interesting.
Can kick rocks besides those two.
And I don't have strong feelings about it. I have enjoyed watching Nurkic play. Maybe I just caught a couple good games.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you did. I just, man, I feel like that guy disappears. I don't.
Yeah.
I'm not into him.
I will say that I watched a couple Trailblazers games near the end of the season, and sometimes McCollum kind of disappears.
Yes, and that's shooting. That's, you
yeah.
know,
I mean,
he'll
that,
have games
that,
where he's
when
hot.
When I say he disappears, I just mean he doesn't make his shots.
Yes.
Like, there's a frustrating thing when you watch NBA teams where it's like, if we run the offense and we get you a wide open 18-footer,
yeah.
it's kind of your job to make that shot.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a perimeter player.
And you know, there will be nights where he's on, nights where he's off.
Yeah.
I still love him. I just
so you like I don't that's not super fair criticism that I mean, yeah. It's not that fair to be like fucking make your shots like
yeah.
That's always just like
yeah, these guys are paid to
yeah.
make their free throws okay
I
all
mean,
right
yeah exactly they're trying you know whether or not they're practicing in the you know free throws or whatever.
Yeah
okay who's 4-5 is Utah
4-5
Thunder.
Is
this
Utah
is a tough
Thunder.
Pick
I'm picking Utah
ooh
yeah I'm picking Utah in 6 because I do not trust this Thunder team, and I want them to
Thunder
lose.
Thunder has
so
home
that,
court.
So that, yeah, I know.
No, I'm reminding yep. myself.
And I do not want Paul George to go back there. I want Paul George to come to Los Angeles. So please, universe, make this happen.
That's funny. I'm going to pick OKC in 7.
Okay.
Because I think that I think Paul George, Westbrook, and Carmelo will play better in the postseason, specifically Melo,
okay,
been bad.
Yeah, I have nothing positive to
say. I guess
about
what I
2018.
This, there's
Melo.
Nothing to support this. I feel like players like Melo and Dwayne Wade will play better in the playoffs and probably get more ref respect.
Okay,
than they deserve.
Okay,
and I feel like in a 7-game series, I would hope that somebody can figure out how to defend Donovan Mitchell. If they can't figure out Donovan Mitchell, then they don't deserve to get past the first round.
Yeah,
because they don't have a ton of offensive weapons besides him. I mean, they have Ingles and Rubio.
They've
but
got
like,
their offense, right? Their
yeah.
offensive weapon is their offense,
yeah.
right? When they cut, when they pass, it's something where they're designed to get open 3-point shooters,
yeah.
and they're designed to get Gobert rim runs.
Yeah.
And when they can't get any of that, they go to Mitchell and just like do something.
Yeah,
come on,
yeah.
do it. And he's involved in the other stuff too. He'll make cuts. He'll shoot those threes. Not make a ton of them. He's not a great 3-point shooter yet.
Yeah.
But I think that Oklahoma City's offense stagnates against good defenses.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And I think that the Utah Jazz.
I mean, Oklahoma City's
defense.
Offense is so hero ballish that it stagnates against itself sometimes.
Yes.
Like it probably
yeah.
stagnates in a gym with no defense. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like Carmelo Anthony stagnates himself.
Yes. Yeah. I can see that.
But okay. Let's go to the East.
Okay.
You love the Raptors.
I do.
I think I'll go to the Raptors too. They were not super impressive today.
I agree. And I think that the Wizards are an 8 seed that will come through and win a game.
They're a tough eight seed. I mean, but that, you know, all the seeding in both conferences this year are like, these aren't really 8 seeds.
Yeah, it feels strange because there was such a cluster at the
yeah,
bottom.
Yeah, like
of
the difference between
8
seed and 5 seed is like one game sometimes mm-hmm. or whatever. So it's like this idea I was hearing on the radio today that like they should have beaten an 8 seed by more than that, but it's like there's not that much of a gap between these teams.
I don't want to make the point anything other than I don't think Washington is good. I don't think that they're going.
No, they're
I don't
not
think,
good.
I think they have. I think they have maybe a 10% chance to win the series, and that's maybe high.
Yeah, it's dependent on Beal sort of consistently staying as good as he can be, and Wall having a couple like insane games.
Yeah.
Because I like Bradley Beal.
I like a lot of people on that team.
Yeah.
They don't have it.
Yeah. And they've also got some unrest going on with Machine.
Yes, they do. There's a couple of bad like vibes on that team.
Yeah.
And
Wall has always been a bad vibes dude, honestly. I have had bad vibes from John Wall ever since there was a video of him beating a high school player in a pickup game. Have you seen that video?
No, I haven't.
It's him playing one-on-one with a high school kid and like flexing on the fact that he beat a high school kid. He was in the pros already.
Okay.
And it's just like, and by the way, he like, if you see that video, he cheats when he wins the last, he travels.
Got it.
But it's just like,
he hooks his off arm and the ref calls a foul and he takes a couple of free throws and he only makes one of them. But
anyway, like I've always had like a little bit of a pissy attitude from John Wall, it seems like.
Okay. You know.
Incredible stat filler.
And I have a buddy that lives in D.C. and he
is it John Wall.
Yeah, my friend John Wall lives in D.C. And he's got my friend's got like half season passes.
Oh,
So he goes to a lot of Wizards games, and he swears that it doesn't feel like that way when you watch him play live, right? Oh. It doesn't feel like he's like trying to do it for himself. It feels like he really wants his team.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say he's doing it for himself because like he had 15 assists today.
Yeah.
So then it's like, I mean, and if you look at his rookie year stats, they're insane. Like,
yeah,
he has one of the best like rookie year stats.
Yeah.
Ever.
Oh, absolutely. So I don't like the narrative of that John Wall's kind of a punk. That's not a narrative I'm a fan of. That being said, I mean, I understand. Like it certainly seems that way. I'm not going to sit here and say that.
It might also just be there's bad vibes with the Wizards organization in general.
Yes, yeah. I think that you can absolutely say that.
Ever since the guns and the... Ooh! We just saw Anthony Davis clown.
Get that alley. Ooh!
So you are taking Raptors.
I'm taking the Raptors in five because I do trust that Washington has the pieces to take a game off of the Raptors, but I don't know. I don't know. I go either way on that one, but I would say five.
I'll go Raptors in six. I also think sometimes picking the number of games is silly.
Yeah.
But like,
yes. If we're going to get granular, we're going to get granular.
Yeah, because I was reading today about like you should read the Spurs fans reacting to the Warriors game today.
Okay.
And the thing is that like the Warriors are just a great team, so they're going to make your team look bad sometimes when they beat you that badly.
Some might even say that they'll make LeBron James look bad on defense.
Yeah.
You know,
I would say that for sure. But then it's like the day after your team loses, it's like, oh, we're going to get swept. And then like the next game, they win by like 3 points and then like, oh, we're back in it. It's like picking the number of games sometimes just seems like an exercise in being prisoner of the moment.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And also whether it's 4 through 7 games, I think at this point, pick those numbers based on what is my imagined relative strength. Like, how much better do I think the Raptors are than the Wizards?
Yeah.
I think they're 3 games better. And it's like, it doesn't really map that way. Like, it never works out exactly that way. And also, sometimes it'll just be like, these two teams just match up really well, so it's going to be a close series. But that whoever gets through that series might just blow out the next round.
Yeah.
Anyway, second seed is Boston.
Second seed is Boston.
And who are they with?
They're playing the Bucks.
I'm so glad you're on this podcast, Casey, because I can just have ridiculous opinions and you can keep me accurate.
they're playing the Bucks.
Oh, yeah. I don't have strong feelings about this series. I love Giannis.
Man, I was so happy. I got to go to the Clippers-Bucks game.
Oh, cool.
Watch Giannis play. It was so fun.
Yeah. We live in a great time for the NBA right now.
Yes.
There are so many interesting players that are like very special.
Yeah.
And he is definitely one of them.
Yes, he absolutely is.
Are you taking the Celtics?
I am taking the Celtics.
You know what? I'll take Bucks just for fun. I'm just going to guess that Giannis just goes insane.
Yeah. Well, if we're going numbers, I'm going in 7. I'm taking Celtics
in
7.
Ooh, I'll go, you know what? Well, no, they're not going to win in five. I'll go Bucks in. You know what? Just to be crazy, I'll go Bucks in five.
Oh.
I mean, there's no reason for that. Actually, the reason I would think that is that, like, they're actually more likely to win in five than to win a game six in Boston.
Game six is in Milwaukee.
So yeah. I'll go six.
All right.
Wait, then I'll do 2-2-3. They do 2-2-1-1-1?
Yes. Okay. 2-3-2 in the finals only.
Okay. Yeah. I never understood why they switch. I assume it's for travel reasons.
It is for travel reasons.
But then it kind of makes it really hard for that road team to win three in a row.
Yes, it does.
So
I don't think they should switch, but, you know, I don't know.
It should be the same in all around.
I think so, too. Let's talk to Adam Silver and we'll get it straightened out.
We will.
Okay.
Or we'll talk to someone else. I was gonna say Ron Silver, but he's dead.
Yes.
You have Celtics in seven, I have Bucks in six.
And so the reason I have this is because Milwaukee is not a good team. Giannis is an amazing player. Mm. Milwaukee is not a good team. They are not coached well. Their defensive scheme is bad.
Mm-hmm.
And
Celtics are very well coached.
They're incredibly well coached.
Yeah. Right? And I hate the Celtics.
Yeah.
But they're very well coached. I hate the Celtics because I'm a Lakers fan. I hate the Celtics because Bill Simmons is a fan of them. I hate the Celtics because Boston is a racist town.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. I'm there with you.
But I kind of like Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
You know,
I think he's a fun player. I like watching him play. I like Jaylen Brown.
Yeah. I fucking hate Marcus Smart.
Yeah. Yes, I could see that one coming.
Oh, I also hate them because Snotty Driven. That's the other reason.
Yes, okay. That makes sense.
But yeah, I think they're going to win.
Yeah,
I just like picking the Bucks just for fun.
Great. Great. Right, one of the proposed titles for this podcast was Meet Me in Temecula, right?
Driving to Temecula. I kind of don't want to call it that because I don't feel like giving him that much credit.
Good. Perfect.
Just
a shout out in the middle of
episode one. Yeah, in the middle of episode one.
And then we have him on as a guest.
Oh. I kind of don't want to ever have a real pundit on the
game. Okay, perfect.
We will, you know, if Matt Moore wants to come and argue, great.
I promise I'll be friendly.
Yeah, I will not. 3-6?
3-6 in the East is Philadelphia versus Miami.
Yes, which the first half of was competitive today.
Yes, and the second half, let me tell you, was not.
I watched a lot of the first half, was not impressed with Dragic at all.
Yep.
And I don't know. This just, like, there are times in the first rounds of playoffs where you're like, let's get to the second and third rounds when the basketball's good.
Oh, okay.
I like Ben Simmons is great. I highly recommend watching the documentary. I forget what it's called. There's a documentary of his year at LSU.
Okay.
Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, you should watch it.
Okay, I will.
Because it basically follows him from getting to LSU and leaving. And the whole college experience is a sham. And he, in the middle of the documentary, he's just like, this is just bullshit. Like, I'm just here to get out of here and go play.
You want some hot takes over here?
Oh, yeah.
I believe in the abolishment of the NCAA.
Oh, I mean, I'm all for that.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
I mean, that will never happen.
No, I am 100% aware that that will never happen. But yeah, I don't follow college basketball. I don't believe in the exploiting of college.
I don't understand
athletes.
Why baseball players can leave high school. Baseball players can get drafted. Like, I feel like sometimes they get drafted before they even graduated high school.
Yeah.
And go then just go right into, like, the minor leagues or whatever.
So I don't think it's before you graduated high school.
I think they're drafted in, like, junior high, Casey.
Ooh, I'm pretty sure you got to be a graduate unless you're an international player.
Uh-huh. But there's no restrictions on them being like, you got to go to college for a year before you.
No, there are not. Those restrictions are artificially placed by the NBA.
Coincidence, baseball's a whiter sport than basketball. I wonder if that has anything to do with it.
We got to delve into some socioeconomic issues.
Does anyone
over here
go directly from high school to pros in football?
No. There is the NFL will not let you be eligible to be drafted unless you have 3 years out of high school.
Okay.
And whether that's a redshirt year and then 2 years playing or 3 years playing, you just got to be 3 years
out. I mean, I guess the idea of a child of 17 going into the NFL to get murdered by adult men. Yeah. It's probably not a good idea.
No, I played football in high school, and let me tell you, I was not anywhere near a prospect, but if you would have, I mean, there were people that were better than me that if you put me against them, I was like, I can't do this. This is ridiculous. Yeah. Like, but
so
you know,
if you were, you know, up against Richard Sherman, in your first year out of high school.
Well, I wouldn't have played against Richard Sherman because I was an offensive lineman and he was a defensive back.
Oh, okay. A DL.
One guy I played against hit me so hard. he played for USC, Lawrence Jackson. Shout outs to Lawrence Jackson, cool dude.
LJ, LJack.
And he, I remember pulling and trying to hit him in a game one time, and he knocked me on my ass so hard. I was like looking up at the sky. I was like, oh, it's nice down here, huh? Oh, this feels real good.
Just stay there.
Oh, yeah. He knocked my ass out. And he went to USC, and he was a great player. He played in the NFL. You know, I mean, like this guy killed me.
Yeah.
And you know, like, if he would have gone to the NFL after his, like, senior year of high school, he would have gotten killed.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, you think about it and it's like, hot take number two, I believe football should be abolished as a sport.
Yeah. I'll go with that too. Yeah, although I played rugby. So
yeah, rugby's safe though. You don't got any pads. It's a safe game.
There's no pads. There's a lot more focus on tackling technique in rugby.
Yep. Yeah.
As opposed to just turning yourself into a bullet.
Yeah.
Did we pick our 3-6?
We have not picked 3-6 yet.
Who are you picking?
I'm picking the Sixers.
In how many?
I'm picking the Sixers in 5.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's short. Yes, I'll take Sixers in 6.
I thought about Sixers in 6, but I like Sixers in 5, and the reason I like Sixers in 5 is because I don't think Miami's got it. I don't think Miami's got it, and I think that the Sixers do.
By it, you mean LeBron James?
Yeah. Yes.
He's and LeBron not on James. The roster this year.
Yeah. That's what I mean by it. The only team that has it right now is the Lakers, because it's 6 months from now and LeBron is signing the Lakers.
It's going to be Paul George and LeBron James on the Lakers.
No. Yeah. Oh boy.
Oh,
nobody's gonna listen to any more of this because we've shown our true colors.
No. First of all, Lakers have the biggest fan base, so like by being pro Lakers, we're gonna get a lot of listeners.
Great. Good,
second,
perfect.
Our podcasts through free agency are going to be amazing.
Don't you even worry about it.
Yeah.
Our podcast live from Vegas at Summer League is going to be fantastic. We're just going to be sitting out in the hot summer heat outside of UNLV just going like, why are we here? Why do we do this?
Oh, no. We're going to be like, I'm like sitting next to Mike Bodenholder.
Ooh.
You know, as he
asking
prepares,
questions.
As he prepares to coach the Suns.
Guerrilla journalism. You think, did they let... But they
cleared for him to like talk to the Suns.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Which is
that seems like a weird move, right?
I would not do that. But
yeah, I mean
I
the Western Conference is
Devin
where you
want
to go
is,
to like
is my main
look
point.
For stuff. Yeah, well, that's a good point.
Although the Suns like over a longer term have had a good organization.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe I think Devin Booker is a player that once you ask him to play defense, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
We'll see. So
the last one is the 4-5.
Right. And now I'm blanking on who that is.
The 4-5 in the East is
Cleveland, Indiana.
Cleveland, Indiana.
I'll take Cleveland. I mean, I love Oladipo.
I got to sit 4 rows back at the Clippers Pacers game recently. It is so funny to watch the Clippers play against somebody who like destroys them. Oh my God. After we decide who we want in this, I'm taking the Cavs too, and I'm taking the Cavs in 5.
Okay.
I have a Clippers game arena story I want to tell.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Do you want to do that now?
Sure. Yeah, I guess I'll do it right now. So one of my favorite things in NBA is the promotions that fans get at the end of the game, the fourth quarters, to get them like riled up.
You mean like. We want tacos?
Like, we want tacos, right? We want tacos is a fantastic thing that I don't
think
the Lakers...
have to win.
Yes, they...
And they have to hold the other team below 100.
Yes, right? Yeah. That's a perfect, perfect one.
Were you about to say they didn't invent that?
No, I was about to say I don't think they do that anymore. I think it's something that happened. It used to happen. I don't think it still happens.
Oh, I thought it happened even this year.
I don't know. I can't remember exactly.
Okay.
But the Clippers do this thing called Miss It for Chicken. A couple of other teams do Miss It for Chicken, too. And Miss It for Chicken works like this. If the opposing team takes 2 free throws and misses both of them in the fourth quarter, the entire arena goes home with boo Chick-fil-A sandwiches.
Oh.
Right? So here's the thing. It never pays out. It never, ever pays out. I've gone to plenty of Clippers games over the last couple of years, and it never, ever pays out. And it is so incredibly funny to watch the entirety of Staples Arena, all 6,000 people there for those Clippers games, get so amped for these chicken sandwiches from Chick-fil-A, and then watching somebody miss the first shot, and the crowd goes wild. The crowd goes nuts. Everybody's screaming. They have fucking Chick-fil-A mascot cows coming out and cheering the crowd on. And then every time the guy drains the second free throw, and the collective Staples Center sound is just, sad, so sad. And I feed off of that.
That's
negative
a good
Clippers energy.
Sound to just sum up the Clippers experience.
Yes. Yeah. And yes, I have so many problems with the Clippers arena experience. We could have an entire episode.
Let's say that for another one, because I definitely want to talk about the DJ at the Clippers experience.
Yes.
Let's make our 4 or 5 picks, though.
Okay.
Cleveland, I think we're both picking.
Yes, I'm picking Cleveland.
I'll go Cleveland in 5.
That's exactly what I said. Yeah. Cleveland in 5.
I think Indiana's a great... I'm really... They had a great season.
Yes,
like,
they really
Oladipo's great.
Yeah.
I just, like... They're kind of like the Spurs East or something. Like, there's teams that like I think are great regular season teams.
Okay.
And then I think they're just going to get crushed.
Okay, that's fair. You know Oladipo's a musical theater guy?
Is he really?
Yes, he loves it.
Oh.
Loves musical theater.
Well, I might give him an extra game for that.
Yeah, hey, you want to bump it up to 6? I heckled him by when I was at the game, and I yelled at him that he wasn't going to win the lottery for Aladdin. That I sent all my real hot musical theater takes four rows into the court, and nobody around me understood why. I was like,
"You were like, wait for it, Oladipo."
yes, I was.
Second round of playoffs, you're gonna have to wait for it. Cool. I think we have our picks.
Yeah, we got them.
I think we got our first episode in the can.
Oh yeah, this is great.
I feel good.
I feel real good about it.
I look forward to just further like. Uninformed rambling for myself.
The thing is
that I will say, if you're listening to this and you think I'm an idiot for not knowing like who the seedings are, I also have bouts where I'll stay up to 4 in the morning on Basketball Reference and like pull stats to like argue with somebody.
Your data scraping skills are very good.
Yes,
like I mean you took, you know, many data gathering courses when you were being schooled. Yes.
No, just a nerd.
Self-taught on the data gathering.
So it's funny because if you are a Kobe fan like I am,
yes,
advanced stats have been sort of your enemy.
Yes. Yeah.
And so I become sort of well versed in them because like when you were picking out like hockey assists to help Kobe's case and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because he'll pass it to somebody who passes it to somebody else. He should get that assist, man.
Or the number of points off of his misses.
Yes, yeah. What about the points that he gets off of his own misses when he shoots it off the backboard, runs and dunks it? I mean, that's a Kobe thing. What about all those steals that he gets from jumping into passing lanes that he has no business jumping into?
And they don't measure like the points he gives up when he does that.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, every time Kobe comes down the court, people are intimidated, all right? And well, can you measure that?
You know what? I can make a good case for like his clutch numbers at some point because I think that I'll just give my real capsule thing about clutch numbers in Kobe,
okay.
Which is that you can measure clutch numbers in baseball because you are forced to bat. Like you cannot choose to not bat. You have to bat when you're up in the order unless you get replaced.
Yes.
In basketball, in the last 3 minutes of the game, you don't have to shoot if you don't want to.
Yep.
And you also don't have to make yourself available or open for a pass.
Yeah.
You can, like, I know this well enough from the small amount of sports that I have played that when you are tired or you are intimidated, you can hide in most team sports. Baseball, you can't because you end up being up at the bat. But, like, there's a certain thing that I think all people that love Kobe love, which is like he was never that person to hide.
He always took that shot.
Yeah.
Right. And if he didn't take the shot, he was making a pass that made sense.
Yeah.
And it was mostly shot, but on the occasion he'd pass.
Yeah. So that's my little capsule defense. Right. There's more to it, but so we don't know what this podcast is called.
Well, we'll find out soon.
You know what? I guess we should make like a website and stuff for this.
Yeah.
We make the content first and figure out how it gets
content
to
first. But, you know, we're SoundCloud. All right. We're making it happen.
I mean, If you're hearing this, that means we figured it out, though.
Yeah.
So
if you're not, oh my God, who's here?
Yeah. All right, we'll see you next time. We're going to put this out once a week, I think.
Yeah, I love it.
I'm Chris Grace.
Casey Lawrence.
We'll see you next time.
Okay, bye.
Bye.